Good morning. My name is David Malone, I'm the director of United Campus Ministry. I want to start out by reading scripture to you from Matthew 9, 35 through 38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." All of us are called into ministry and welcoming people into the fold. I was called into campus ministry when I graduated high school. I went to college and had no idea what I wanted to do or what I wanted to be, but I was in classes for 3.5 years and decided that I wanted to be a musician. I was writing some songs at the time, so I decided I would travel and play the guitar. I'm sure my parents were thrilled with that decision. I did that about 8 months, and it worked out fairly well. I decided this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. So I went back to school, which makes perfect sense. I'm sure my parents were pleased with that decision of going back to school to get my degree so that when I was done being a musician, I would have a degree. So went back, got my degree. Following year and a half, I traveled and played the guitar and realized that traveling around like 3 weeks or a month was not something I wanted to do for a long time. So I went back to school and worked on a teaching certificate, did some master's classes. And at the end of that year, you would think I would have some clarity and maybe it's just my indecision, but I didn't. I was like, "God, what do you want me to do?" And I really struggled with what to do. I went back to traveling and singing that summer. It was just going to be a summer job, but I had no idea what I would do. I was going to school in Norman, Oklahoma, but I was traveling all around, but I ended up in Norman, and I went to the Methodist Student Center. I had not met the director before. There was a new director, and walked in and said, "I would like a place to live. I don't know if I'm going to school. I don't have any idea what I'm doing with my life, but can I have a place to live?" And he said, "Sure. In the fall, you can come and live, and would you like a job? I need an assistant, and I heard about you from the people at McFarland United Methodist Church, and I'd like to have you come work with me." I gave my wife's favorite answer, which is, and not have a clue, and said, "I will pray about it, and I will let you know my decision." I wrote him from a postcard from the Sears Tower and said, "I would have these commitments, but I would love to start, you know, the 15th of August or whenever it was, and work with you." I worked with Brad 3 years at the University of Oklahoma, and then our move to Alaska was very similar to that. My wife came up on a mission trip the summer before. I knew the summer of 1992 something was going to change. I had been at the Wesley Foundation a couple of years. I was very happy there. My boss asked me, "Where do you want to be in 10 years?" Right here, being your assistant. You know, this is what I want to do. But I felt over that summer there was change coming in my life, and I didn't know what it was. I just knew that I needed to be open. When Clarice, my wife, said, "There's a couple of jobs in Alaska, would you like to go?" I immediately knew, yes, I would like to go, and said to her, write a letter, send them a letter and let them know we'd like to come. I, a couple of days later, as you may already tell, kind of indecisive, decided I don't want to do that. And I told Clarice, you know, I'm sorry, but I changed my mind. And she said, sorry, I've already written a letter. And I was like, okay. It was just worked out how it works out. And it worked out. That first story was 30 years ago, and the second story was 27 years ago. I've been doing campus ministry for the last 27 years. That story is a great illustration, I feel like, for my college students, that God's going to work things out. Don't get too uptight about stuff. Do what you're doing right now right. We're all called to ministry. Some of us are called to minister to the elderly. Some of us are called to minister to youth. Some of us are called to work, to minister to the accountants around us, to our students if we're teachers. God calls us all to have some passion, as our scripture for today stated, that Jesus had compassion on the people. And that God calls us to care for people, to reach out to them, to give to them, to care for them in many different ways. I'd like to tell a story, and this story is from Billy Still. He's a retired Methodist minister, and in Tucson is where he was working at the time when this story happened. It started one Sunday morning. There was a young man slumped up against the outside wall of the church, and had a hoodie on, folded over his head, and one of the ushers came to Billy and said, there's a young man over there. I've spoken with him, but I think maybe you can go speak with him as well, that it would be good for him to know that he's welcome. And I think that's great that the usher had already talked to the young man, but knew that it would be good for Billy to go and share with him as well. Billy went over. The young man was gruff and didn't really seem to want to have a conversation. Billy reached out his hand, tried to introduce himself, but the young man didn't seem to really want to have a conversation. But he did ask, you know, is it all right for me to be here? And Billy said, yes, we're glad that you're here. And he said, when does the service start? And Billy told him, you know, in about 10 minutes. And so Billy didn't shake his hand or anything. The young man didn't want that, but he excused himself and went in to start the service. The young man came in late and then participated in the service, but left early. As the closing hymn was going, he walked out the door. He did this for the next few weeks, same kind of thing. He would come late and leave early for about 4 weeks. And then on a Monday, Billy received a call from his secretary saying, there's someone here and you should come down to meet them, which was code to him to say, somebody's here and they're frightening me and I need you to come as quickly as possible. And so Billy walked a fast pace down to her office. As he walked in, it was this young man and he had his hoodie on. And I think as Billy walked in, he took his hoodie off. And as he unveiled his head, it was a bald scalp with a tattoo over his head. And Billy tried to fight being frightened by it or aghast by it, but he did not do very well at that. And the young man said to him, don't worry about, in a kind voice, a very different voice than Billy had experienced the first day, don't worry about being intimidated by my tattoo. It's meant to do that. The young man introduced himself as a Rubio. My name is Rubio. And they walked down to Billy's office, and he began to share about his life. Rubio said that at 9 years old, he was in the foster care system, and that he had run away from home. and that he was on the streets. And at a young age, he became adopted by a gang, and they took care of him, and they basically raised him. He began running drugs when he was about 11 or 12 years old, and just had grown up with that big thing. He was a drug dealer, and he had admitted that to Billy, and he said to Billy, "I'm deal with integrity, and you can take that for whatever you want." But he said, "I deal with integrity." But he goes on to say, "I have a wife now, I have a child, and I want out. I sleep every night with a gun in my hand or by my bed. I'm terrified about a rival gang coming in, my own gang coming in, a drug dealer coming in, someone coming in and killing me, killing my family. And I think about my son, and I don't want him to live the same life. I want a better life." Billy says a prayer often that is, "Let me be empty, let me be poor, let me welcome you into my day." And at this point, Billy is feeling empty. Who's going to hire this guy? But he tells the Rubio, honestly, and he's not hiding from him, that for you to get out, you have to get a job, and the Rubio will do that, and you want to get a job, and you're going to have to work hard to do it. It's not going to be easy. So they set up a plan, and the plan is that Rubio will make getting a job his job. Okay, so going and applying. The other thing that they come up with, and this is over several weeks, is that Rubio's language was possibly a little bit salty, we'll use that term, and that they came up with 9 words Rubio was not to say in an interview. And in that, they came up with words he could use as substitutes, and for the words he couldn't come up with substitutes, he just said, do not use this language. You've got to change your language. Again, Rubio set out to get a job as his job. And he went, and he was faithful, and he applied. Well, he went, asked, "Do you have any openings?" He would have heard over and over again, "No." And he would say, "Do you have an application? Can I fill it out?" He would fill it out, he would turn it in, and then he would go to the next place, do the same thing over and over and over again. And then he would go back a week later and follow up. "Now, do you have openings? Do you have openings?" And him coming to the church to visit with Billy, he came in one day and they were talking. And he let Billy know, I'm going to another church. He had stopped going to the Methodist church. Then he went to a Spanish-speaking church, and one that was more Pentecostal, a little more lively. And he asked Billy, "You know, is that okay if I don't come to church, but I come see you on Mondays?" And Billy's like, "Yeah, you know, this is good for both of us, and we want to see you get a job." So they continued to meet over time. And again, one day, and then another day on down the road, he's applying and applying and applying, and nothing's happening. And he comes in and he asks Billy, "You know, is this going to work? You know, will this work out?" And Billy is again feeling empty, but Rubio asks him, "You know, will you pray with me?" So they pray again, you know, just that God would help him to get a job, help him to find a job. And Billy is thinking about his own hope, his own faith, you know, and thinking about, do I get up? Do I believe that Rubio can get a job? And he's worried about it. And he's thinking that, you know, if God's hope is enough for me, and God's hope is for Rubio as well, that we can do this together. And Billy's thinking about his own faith. Is it that his faith hangs in the balance of a reformed drug dealer getting a self-respecting fast food job? You know, that just that little move is, do I believe in God? Can God make this happen? Rubio then asks him, pulls out a wad of bills and asks, can I buy a Bible? Billy says, you know, I have plenty of Bibles. You can take a Bible. And Rubio asks him, will you sign it for me? Will you write on it? Billy doesn't quite understand what clips that means. And Rubio says, will you write? You know, I'm Pastor Billy from St. Paul Methodist Church, and I gave this Bible to Rubio. And the reason for that was Rubio thought that someone would think that he stole it if Billy had written that in there. Billy, again, is challenged by how long will Rubio continue to do what he's doing, to apply and apply? How long will he put himself to sleep and his child to sleep, hungry at night, when he knows he can go back and do something else and make money dealing drugs? How long till someone has compassion on this young man? Rubio's visits became less and less frequent every other week. He was still applying, he was still coming in and saying, it's going to work out, but Billy's faith, and possibly Rubio's fear, was fading. And then one day, Rubio walked in unannounced. You're a miracle. And they embraced each other, and Rubio said, I got a job. And I work at a burrito house, and they have me washing dishes. I'm in the back. They make me stay in the back. They don't want me out front because they're scared I will run customers away. But I got a job. And from the beginning, the proposition was, you'll get a job, and then you'll get a better job. So they didn't talk that day about getting a better job, but they just celebrated that he had a job. Rubio didn't come in for a couple of weeks, but the next time he entered, he wasn't that same slouch with his hoodie on. He walked into the office and just proud of himself. And he said to Billy, you're a miracle again. And Billy embraces him and says, you know, no, you are the miracle. And Rubio says, my boss at the burrito house, he likes to flip houses and has rental properties. And he needs people to work, and on my day off, I would go and I would work with him. And I would work hard and I would work long. And now he needs somebody to be a foreman of one of his crews, and I'm going to be that foreman. Rubio said, when I was at the burrito house, I showed up early, I worked late, I did everything they asked me to do immediately, and I did the things they didn't ask me to do when I knew they needed to be done. And my boss has rewarded me with this job as a foreman, and I'm going to be over other people. I am going to have a house that's going to be rent-free, that he's going to give in the house as a rental property at home for payment and what he is doing, and that he is going to pay him as well. And Rubio said, you know, no more being in the back, no more hiding myself away from the customers. I can work with my guys, I can lead them, I can guide them. A Rubio story is a miracle of just putting work into it, working with God, praying to God, experiencing God's word and bringing help, having it bring us to life. God calls us, as he called Billy, to work with people, to walk with people. Let us be empty. Let us be full. Let us welcome you into our day. Let us welcome those, the least of those. Let us welcome whoever comes into our day. To love them, to care for them, to have compassion on them, and to walk with them in their faith and help them become a miracle. And know that God provides miracles every day. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you are amazing. Lord God, I pray that you would help us to welcome your people into our lives. Help us to love them and care for them and walk with them. In your precious name we pray. Amen.